Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Horse Geeks podcast, where we look at horses and riding from the inside out. I'm Kirsten Nelson, professional horse trainer, and with me today is a brand new guest living in Hungary, but does podcasts in Swedish and English. And Anne Axel has a podcast called Horse and Health. And that's how you and I met, was sort of through this podcast network, you could say.
That's right.
But it is not your profession as a podcaster. You actually work with horses like me.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And so, first, could you tell me a little bit about your podcast, Horse and Health? I know you offer
Of course.
some in Swedish, some in English.
That's right. Yeah, and first of all, thank you for having me. It's exciting to be here. And yeah, my podcast is all about horses. My thought behind it is that I would love people to treat horses better in another way. I don't interview people who are high performing dressage and jumping and so on. I talk a lot with people who are a bit different, that talk to the horse or have some things with the hooves, no shoes or saddles and everything. And I'm learning every time I have a new person in my podcast. I really love it.
Yes. Yeah, I was similar to start the podcast to just put different ideas out into the horse
Yes.
world. Absolutely. And so, would you say most of your podcasts so far are in the Swedish language, or about half Swedish, half English, or?
It would be half, and I have a few also in Danish. And I found out recently that you can put text on it in YouTube, so you can have a look at all of them. And yeah, it's fantastic.
Now, as a horse person, I still have to keep catching up with technology. So that's good
Yeah, that's
to
right. But we're
But
learning.
yes. And aside from the podcast, and that's why I wanted to interview you today. It's really nice to be with like-minded people that are looking for better strategies to work with our horses, or even develop them into performance in ways that promote more health, more relationship, less accidents and injuries,
Yes.
and something that's really good for the horse.
That's right. And I grew up in the old-fashioned way, where you come to a riding school and the teacher just put you on a horse and then you are going to ride. We didn't know anything about horses before we were put on a horse. And I think you should have the other way around. You should learn how the horse is speaking, how you can treat them, and because then it was yeah, the horses are they're not moving because they were like this, and then you got
Yes.
a whip and please just
Make them
give
do
him
it.
be yes, because he's lazy or something like that.
Yes.
And the older I got, the more questions I had about this, and I thought this is not the right thing. But
Yeah.
when all the teachers come and tell you just make the horse do what you want, because a horse is a big one, and if it not obey you, it would be dangerous.
And
And
I think it's a very good point that as humans, our first experience, our very first lesson is you get on and you make the horse go, you make the horse stop, you make the horse turn left and right. And it's very deep in our psyche that If the horse doesn't do what we want, the horse is the problem.
That's right. Yes. And if it throw you off, it's because it don't want you to ride it. Nothing about it. It may be in pain or something like that.
Exactly. No,
But
and that sort
that
of
is what I wanted.
it leads into the other work that you do aside from podcasting. Are you a horse? Would you call yourself a horse trainer? Would you call yourself a riding instructor? Or what is it that you do with horses?
Well, I call myself a coach,
A coach, okay.
because I help people who are afraid of riding to get back in the saddle. And it could be everything. Most of my customers have been riding for all their life, and maybe they are falling off, or maybe they just get the fear. It can come when you get children, or certainly your brain is going to, oh, I don't want
Yes.
to hurt myself. And maybe you're a bit older. And when you are afraid, you will be like, oh, I have to ride today. I must ride. And that is the opposite that you should do, because when you demand yourself, it feels like, nah, I'm going to wait tomorrow. I may be cleaning the stable and
Yes.
yeah,
I find
make
that
food
ex
for my husband or something like
yes.
that.
No, and I find that people who begin to develop fear of riding for any reason, suddenly they have a million excuses. I can't go to the barn. I can't ride today. I have other things to do. I'm too
That's
busy.
right.
And that always happens, I think, as an early sign of losing confidence because if you really wanted to do it, if it was something you looked forward to, you find the time.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And I have been going through it myself. I was a horse dealer, so I had 25, 30 horses in the stable, and I had people who worked for me, and they said, "Oh, don't you want to go for a ride?" And I know I haven't got the time. I wait a little, and certainly I just, wow, I may be afraid, and I didn't want to say it, because it's not the things you do when you have 24 five horses. That you are afraid of riding. But I was never afraid on the ground. But then it came to me that that is the trust from the horse. I keep getting new horses in the stable, and I know that they were nice to ride, because my girls in the stable, they were riding them, and there was nothing wrong with them. But I had a little voice in my head, and don't you try that, because if you break your arm or something like that, you can't work. So I got further and further from the riding. But of course, I wanted to get back, because you know, it's the best thing in the world to ride. And I got a foal from my stallion. He was old, and it was the last foal from him. And I started to work bit for bit. And I broke him in myself in a way that I haven't done before. You know, always as a human, everything is going to be fast. And if you should have a money for a horse, you have to break them in fast and get some money for it, and so on. But in this case, I just took the time, very much
Yes.
time, and then I succeeded.
And I
And
see that
later,
that
yes.
was true in my experience as well, that I started helping a lot of older women who had young horses, and they didn't want to send the horse off because they saw sometimes the horse came back worse if they were started too fast.
That's right.
And especially in the US, we expect a young horse to buck and rear and bolt and carry on. And then my time actually in Europe showed me that's not necessary. And
Oh, that's right.
so I find people who are have a healthy fear, a healthy respect, that they actually do a much better job to break in a young horse than most professionals who do that for a
Yes,
living.
yes. That's right. We do it in this way. We take it bit for bit, but in a hurry, as you know, when we are going to sell the horse. But when you have your own horse, you have all the time in the world. And what people don't think of that is that you just need 5 minutes a day. You don't
Yes.
need 2 hours, 3 hours every day. You just need 5 minutes a day. And everybody is so surprised when I help them. I said, you have to schedule and you have to do this 5 minutes. And you just do it step by step. And after 3 weeks, they say, that's fantastic. I'm not, now I want to ride.
Yes.
And you don't think like that. You just think that you have bad conscience, that you don't ride your horse. And you start to thinking, oh, maybe I should sell it. Maybe my time is over with horses. But it's not like that. As you said, you just take it easy
You just,
and
yes, I agree
yeah.
100%. And
And a
it's one
lot of
of,
groundwork as well.
to rebuild the confidence. Yes.
Yes.
And I always tell people, like, whether it's a rehabilitation with a horse that has become scary or a young horse that's unpredictable, the relationship develops on the ground. And
Yes.
I always find every rider, no matter how much fear they have in the beginning, there comes a point where they authentically say, I want to get on. I
Yes.
want to do that. And that's when you know the fear is gone.
Yeah,
But
that's
I
right.
think in the horse business, at least in the US, I don't know about Europe, but the main idea is never show the horse you're afraid, just push through it, just get back on, just,
Yeah.
make it happen, right? And
That's right.
so it's like it's always telling people your fear is not important and your fear is not valid. But I go, your
That's right.
fear is your body keeping you safe. And if you don't work with it, then you will get out of horses, like, because
Yes.
it will
Yes.
overwhelm, even how you can ride.
I always compare it to a teenager. If you discussing with a teenager and you say you have to do this, then they just turn around and leave the
Yes.
room. And it's the same with your brain. If you say you must ride, you must ride, then you get more fear and you will never get back on it.
Yeah.
So, as you said, you have to work with it and change your thinking and mindset.
Yes. No,
Yeah.
and it can work to overcome, because sometimes I think we don't recognize fear as fear. And I think what you describe, you just start to avoid a little bit more spending time with your horse. Or
Yeah.
there's a very low grade anxiety. The anxiety builds a little bit. Or I see some people have to control who's in the arena, who's doing what, when is the
Yes.
lawnmower coming, oh, the footing is no good. It's like, really, those are sometimes the expression of fear.
It is, yes. And it's just working like this. It's the same way if you're going to load a horse. You see all the scenario in your brain that the horse is throwing itself out, and you're going to drive into a truck, and you say all the scenarios before you even start to load the horse. So you have this
Picture.
energy and picture in you. So when you come and get the horse, he knows
Yes.
something is going on. I don't want to do what you're thinking.
And so, what do you do when you work with a client and you say maybe this 5 minutes of day a day? Obviously, you're starting with groundwork. But would you say you're teaching people to read the language of the horse as part of it, or also
Yes.
just to go through exercises, or what does it look like when you work with somebody?
Everything,
Yeah.
everything, and I also use hypnotherapy. That is very good to get rid of all your
Excuse me.
thoughts. And
So you use hypnotherapy with people to help them overcome
yes.
bigger fear issues.
Yes. And I also have a course that is involved where it is step by step every day, a little video, what you're going to do today or tomorrow and the next day and so on. And these are things that, as I said, you have done it in 5, 10 minutes. So you can't come and say it. I don't have time to this. If you have a horse, you have 10 minutes extra every day. Then you maybe don't have to whip the stable or something like that.
Right.
you just do this, and when you put it in your schedule, it your brain will tell you, okay, I'm going to do it. If you just think it in your brain, you will. Not do it. You will think, okay, I do it tomorrow or the next day or something like that. Well, but when you have write it down, or you have scheduled every day, then you know what to do. It's like cooking. I always said that you can go all day and thinking about what are we going to eat tonight? What are we going to eat? What should I buy in the store? And what does my husband like? And you can do that all day. And it takes so much energy and thinking about this. Instead of Sunday evening, you schedule that you are going to eat this on Monday, Tuesday, and so on. And then you can go to the store and get all the things. So this will not bother your brain. You can think of other things. And it is the same with the horses.
Yes, and I think the 10 minutes, like 5 or 10 minutes, also it takes the pressure off of the person and the horse,
Yes.
because I think when we plan an hour, I must walk, trot, canter both directions and get over my jumps.
That's right. Yeah.
And so that's a lot of pressure to think it's a big commitment of time. I might be scared. So I love your idea of just schedule in a short amount of time that you know you could fit into the day, but you have a plan to follow every day.
Yes. Then
And
you
so
don't get
is
the fear when it's so
right.
little, yeah.
And it's just no pressure. So you talk about having your videos and a course. Is that online, or you do that in person, or both?
The course is online. You get that for a lifetime, so you can look at it and you can get back to it if you fall back in the old habits. And I am doing this online. I'm talking to people like you and I here, and talk to them and go deep and see what it is that you are scared of, what has happened, what can we do about it. Many people are, it's sometimes it's not the horse, it's the job. They are stressed, they come home, they think, ah, oh, I have to ride an hour. and they can't get it in the brain. And then it's, as I said, you get further and further from the horse. And nobody wants to sell the horse because they have a relationship before and they love the horse, but they're just afraid to get on it.
Yeah.
And then you also have all the people in the stable. If you don't have the horse at home, if you have it with other people, they always say, "Oh, why don't you have a horse? You don't ride it."
Oh my
And that
gosh.
is
That,
also, yeah,
you know,
that
the horse world is so small. Everything
yeah.
you describe is what I come across in America. It's like horse people are sort of the same around the world. We're all a little bit crazy. We all have the same issues and we hear the same things at the barn. And
Yes.
it's funny because taking a similar approach, the people I work with will say, oh, everybody at the barn can see the horses looking better, but they always say, when are you going to ride? When are you going to ride? When are you going to ride? And it's like that pressure. I think it's other people's fear that if you somehow look different, other people don't like it if you do something different. And I found that
That's
very
right.
common.
That's right.
Yeah.
I had a customer, or what you call it, a girl, and she was very afraid to ride her horse, and she said, "There's nothing wrong with him. It's just me." And I helped her, and she got this step by step, and she told me she had the horse on a very big stable where they are all competing, you know, dressage and jumping and everything, and they just look at her, "What are you doing?" And in the end, she rode this horse without bridle and without saddle. And I told her, "You know, all these people who stay in the stable and look at you, they are jealous at you because that is just what they want, but they don't give it time."
Yes. Or I'll hear from people when I meet someone new, even performance riders. If I say, what's most, I ask them the question, what is most important to you? Almost everybody says, my relationship with my horse.
Yes.
But almost nobody will put in the time to build that relationship because if the horse creates some trouble, they just say, bad horse, disobedient, right?
Yes.
Make him do it. And I go,
That's right.
that's not, I go, so I tell people, I go, do you want a relationship like a spouse or a child, or do you want a relationship like a employee? Right?
Yeah,
Because
that's
they're
right.
both relationships. So what kind of relationship do you want? And I, if you think your horse is your slave, I go, you will never have a relationship.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And I
But
think
I
what,
think
sorry, go ahead.
most people don't know how to do it. Not in my age, because we have never learned it on the riding schools. We don't know how to do it. We think we have a relationship because the horse is coming when we have an apple. But most people can't the horse's language. They are not
Oh,
able
yeah.
to do it, and they think it's very, very difficult, but it isn't.
No, and I find one of my main jobs as a horse trainer, or I when people ask what I do, I go, I teach people how to train their own horse. That's really what I do.
Yes.
So that's going to involve overcoming fear on both sides, developing skills on both sides.
Yes.
And it's very empowering to the horse owner. I really love it because you it's a learn as you go, but the learning develops the bond, the trust, the relationship. And that's basically what you're guiding people to in very small steps
Yes.
is you can do this.
Yes. And you are teaching the people, you're not teaching the horse, because the horse knows what to do. It's you that can't speak with the horse. You can speak to the horse, but not with the horse. But when you open your eyes and this relationship will be good, as you said, it's a whole other world.
Yes, it's a world within a world.
Yes.
Yes, and it's where the magic happens that we all dreamed about when we were little girls.
Right.
I think
That's
that's
right.
the where the magic is. And I find too the nonverbal language of horses is it's as precise as speaking English or Swedish or Danish, that when you understand the language, oftentimes, I think I'm an interpreter from the
Yes.
person to the horse. And excuse me, I also find, like the young girl you described, she had no reason to have fear, but she did. And
Yes.
I go, that's actually the part of us that does speak horse. It's not a language where we have words come out, but it's feelings. And so I really think when I respect people's fear, that there's a reason, right? And that it's real and that it means something, almost like our body is like a horse, that it communicates to us without words. And that
That's right.
emotion of fear coming up is our body speaking to us. Maybe it's unconscious,
Yes.
but trusting our feelings, trusting our body is how we learn to speak the language of horses, because it's all energy, it's all frequency.
Yes. Yes, that's
It's
right.
body language. And so, but I bet the horse in Hungary, I could still understand. I do speak that language.
Yes. If you can speak with the horses, you can speak to every horses. They
Yeah.
use their body, as you said.
And I think every person, it is an ability that just lays waiting. It just is inside everybody, but it's a matter of bringing it out more than I think traditional riding instruction is like we're putting information in.
Yes.
But what I think what you're talking about is drawing something out, releasing the fear, or drawing out that ability to read the horse, speak with the horse, and have a very deep relationship that
Yes.
nobody else knows about except you and the horse.
That's right. And you're also right when you said it's a feeling that you can feel that something is wrong. Maybe there is something wrong with your horse, and you're afraid of if you sit on him and don't recognize what he is saying, then maybe you get off before you want.
Yes. Yeah, I think those little f the whether it's emotional or some crazy thought, I go, it's sort of the intelligence of the body that just comes up sometimes to a conscious level, but we can't explain it at first, and so we tend to dismiss it or push it away.
Yes.
And I think it's very important to just take it as information.
That's right. That's right. And often when you just push it away, then things happen
Yeah.
that are not so good in many ways. And just to learn the horse from the ground, how it speaks, how it's a great experience.
It is, and I think it's often why a lot of horses prefer the groom to the rider.
Yeah,
You know?
that's right.
Because the groom is always helping them feel good and feel safe, and the rider is sometimes making them feel unsafe or uncomfortable. And when we look at it through the horse's eyes, I think it also brings up some compassion for what our horse might be feeling or thinking.
Yes. And I often say as well that you should be a little bit more playful, because everything gets so serious when you get older. You should sit right, you should do this right, and you're so afraid to making mistakes. But the horses make also mistakes, and you have to give room for both of you to make small mistakes and say, "This was not good. We try again in another way."
I really came to see over the years that one of the number one causes of fear is the fear of making a mistake. And it could be the fear of making a mistake in your performance, or it can be a fear of doing the wrong thing with your horse. And it can cripple people. And I read a very good book one time about, I think the author was Robert Kiyosaki. And the title was very interesting. It said, "If you want to be rich and happy, don't go to school." And it
Yes,
was sort
that's
of
right. Yeah.
tongue in cheek. But what he pointed out in this book that really was a big moment for me as a teacher is when we go to school, we always have a grading system. And so you're at the top of the class, the middle of the class, the bottom of the class, or you fail. And so when we make mistakes in school, we are literally punished, at least psychologically.
Yes.
It creates pain if we make mistakes. And so the longer we've been in school, sometimes we don't realize that we've sort of generalized this idea that making a mistake equals pain.
Yeah.
And having to re-educate or sort of address that directly to go, the only way we learn, because then we can look at, marvelous inventors or scientists. You can't learn without mistakes.
No, that's right. The more mistakes you do, you better you will become.
Yeah, the faster you learn.
Yeah.
And so, where do people find your course that you're talking about to walk them through the 10 minutes a day, is that online?
Yes, I have an on my homepage, and that is anneaxel.com. It's 2 L. That is my name, and you can find it there. It is in three languages.
Excellent.
And I also have a Facebook group, Confident Connection with Your Horse, where everybody is welcome to join. And as you said, I also have a podcast that
Yes.
is named Horse and Health on
Horse and Health.
YouTube and Spotify.
Excellent. So I will also, before I post this video or podcast, I'll have all that information in the description box for you guys if you would like to check out Anne. But I want to hear more too about, you said you're maybe starting a group with a friend. You had talked to me about that before. And is that still around the same idea of overcoming fears, developing trust, taking it in
It's
small bites?
about develop trust and read the horse. It's a friend of mine, Marina Paris, and she has been studying wild horses, and she also been with Pirelli and a lot of horse people. She dedicated all her adult lives to horses. And we are working on a membership group where we want to, so people can see what the horse's needs are from the beginning, the holistic things, what is best for the horse, how you can understand it, so you get a much better relationship to your horse. And this will also be, we will have meetings, and people can get in and get answer to you their questions if they have some, if they have any problems with their horses, or they wanted to learn something more, because we are two people that have been around horses for all our lives. And we think we can help a lot of people, and we make it easy to see and to consume, because we wanted also that kids can understand it, so they get the right thing from the start, before they get the wrong idea about the horse. As you said, it shouldn't be a slave, it should be your best friend
Yes.
in all means.
Absolutely. And so what is the group called?
Happy Horse Hop.
Happy Horse Hop.
Yeah, we are going to release it, or what you call it, in August.
Okay.
So we are working on it right now. So we put out a lot of webinars and things in there, so you can learn a lot there.
Excellent. So I will have that information also in the description box. But yeah, the more you talk, the more I go, we are very much on the same page when it comes to working with the horses and the riders. And there was another interesting, very interesting researcher I stumbled across years ago. She's since passed, but Candace Pert, PERT. Have you ever heard of her?
No, I don't think
She
so.
wrote a book called The Molecules of Emotion. And she was a research scientist researching opiate receptors and how the body works, that different drug how do different drugs work. And as she was doing her research on that, she started to notice how what is the chemistry, the biochemistry of what we call emotions or emotional
Yes.
state, and how
Okay.
that works in the body. How it's works through peptides and receptor cells and neurotransmitters, and how our endocrine system relates to the emotions. And she goes into great detail. But long story short, one of the things she said in one of her lectures that always stuck with me is that the experience, the biochemical chain of events that happens in a body, even down to very simple celled animals, or I want to say, I don't want to say bacteria, but down to the simplest organisms, that biochemical reaction that we call emotion is the most highly preserved part of all of evolution. And so it's not that different from what we consider very low forms of life to very complex forms of life. And I found that fascinating because what triggers, excuse me, I understood what triggers the emotional response can be very different if you're a human or a horse or a dog or a cat or a fish. The
Yes.
trigger for the emotion is different. But the internal experience is exactly the same.
Yes.
And so so when we see a horse that's anxious, that horse feels anxiety the same way we experience anxiety.
Yes.
And some people think, oh, it's just because it's a thoroughbred or an Arab. They're just like that. It's a hot blood horse. And I go, no, anxiety is anxiety,
Yes.
right? Fear is fear. Or
And this,
anger is anger, and we can see angry horses.
yes.
And I go,
And
so what, however they got there might be different, but that internal experience, we can be what they call anthropomorphic biologically, and really be compassionate for that experience of that emotion is no different in our horse than we experience internally.
That's right. And I often say to people when they say, "Oh, he's so stupid. He is always afraid of the stone out there," or something like that. And I would say, "Yeah, if I came with a spider in front of you and told you just to move on,
Yeah.
what would you say?"
Yes, exactly. I use a snake, but yes, the
Okay.
same thing.
Yes.
Yes, if I push you towards the snake, how do you feel about me?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, not nice.
And that is what we are doing to our horses. You
Yes.
should be a leader. You should show him that it's not dangerous. You can talk to him and so on, but not the way that many people do.
You can't verbally talk them through it, but through, and I think
No.
it's a very interesting lesson for all humans to realize that your words don't matter, but your actions matter very much.
Yes.
Yes. What a different world we might have if we knew that our actions matter and our energy matters more than our words.
That's right.
And I think that's where the relationship with the horses is so different, I guess, or simpler than a lot of our human relationships. It's not as
And you
complicated.
really see yourself in the horse.
Yes. Or you realize, like some people have this mythical idea that if you are perfect, your horse responds perfectly and your horse never gives you trouble. It's sort of the myth of the horse whisperer, right? And I go, it's a little bit disrespectful to think that if I'm perfect, then my horse will reflect that I'm perfect. And I go, no, your horse has its
No.
own thoughts, its own feelings, its own social structure, its own
Yes.
past life experiences. And I go, sometimes your horse giving you trouble has nothing to do with you.
No. That's right.
But the horse needs your help.
Yeah. And many people say, "Oh, I can't understand why he is so mean to me. I give him food, I do everything, but he's just mean to me." But as you said, you can't talk with words, or you can show the way, and hopefully the horse will follow you.
Yes. Or it's like I hear exactly what you said a lot. I feed the horse, I bring treats, I groom him, I make him feel good. But
Yes.
I go, well, if you felt unsafe all the time, like you were living in a war zone, those gifts don't matter very much because you
No.
always feel not quite safe. And a lot of horses live in that place where they don't feel 100% safe or relaxed, even in their normal home environment or in a daily normal training session. And so also, if we don't understand how the horse's body works to carry a rider, we can be creating issues of discomfort or pain that we don't think we're doing, but we do them all the same.
We are doing that already when we put a horse in the stable, because it can't see, it can't recognize the dangers, and it don't know that the next thing that come through the door, what is that?
Yes.
Usually they lives outside, and if you see horses that have a lot of space, they often stand in the highest place and have a look, and then they are safe.
No, and our domestic horses, I think the relationship with the human is what makes the biggest difference to the domestic horse, because when my horses do feel safe in the environment, they're perfectly happy to go under the shelter or in the stall, and they find security in that over time. It's not natural to them, but it's also not natural to have a relationship with a predator, us. So
No.
it's they're already not natural
No,
to
that's
live in
right.
the human environment and have a relationship with a human. But I go, it's amazing how adaptive that they are, that they can have that relationship and they can be feel perfectly calm going in a trailer, going in the stall. They can learn that, but it takes guidance and help.
That's
Yeah.
right.
And I think horses have been domesticated so long, we expect that as soon as they're born, they know how to do all those things. And I go, no, they're still kind of wild when they're born. Like they have to learn these things.
Everything,
Yes. Anything else you'd like to add about working with? And what do you find in your work that would you say it's maybe a larger percentage of riders than we would think have fear issues? Do you find it's hard for people to admit?
Yes.
Yes.
You found the spot.
Oh.
It's not allowed. You can't say that in a stable that you are afraid, because you cannot be afraid around horses. And somehow it's right, that you shouldn't be afraid, but you should make the environment so you are not afraid.
Yes.
Because you shouldn't work with a horse if you are afraid. Then you have to step back and get in a comfort zone and then work out from that. Because of course the horse can feel that you are afraid.
Yes.
It can feel your energy and even anger, as you said, when we come from the work and you have been arguing with someone and you come to the stable, the horse know exactly what mood you are in.
Oh yeah,
So
they
we
can
have
see
to,
the little cloud over your head.
yes. So you have to have a look at yourself and know where to start again.
Yes. And I find taking the pressure off of people like you do and taking the pressure off the horse is really where people can take a deep breath and start to really make progress. And sort of taking that step back and making things simpler actually advances much faster and much farther than trying to push through it.
A lot of people say, yeah, but I have come so far in my riding, I don't want to go back. I want to continue from here. But if you try that, as you said, then you will always get back to this stage. You will not come further than that. But if you're back and you do the groundwork and you get comfortable with everything and the horse is getting comfortable, then you can come
Yeah.
up.
No, and I find there seems to be somewhat of a pattern for human development with horses. And I go, when we start with horses, we're all perfectly okay to say, I'm afraid when you're a beginner. And then when you become sort of competent, I see that as the most dangerous time for the human. Because now you've achieved a few things, you've ridden for a number of years, and you're competent. And that's where people often sort of think they know more than they actually do, or they haven't really come across a problem yet that the horse, challenged them. And they think it's not okay to be afraid. And I go, if you live through that period and you stay with horses, what's on the other side, And a lot of my mentors were in their 70s. They were older people.
Yes.
And had been with horses their whole life and were just brilliant. And they were the first to say, if you don't have, it's not necessarily fear like you would have in the middle level of riding, you have a respect for the power of the horse. So it's
And
like
you
a,
should have. You
you
should
should
have.
have, like a
Yes.
sailor. I go, if you have
Yeah.
somebody who thinks they can sail a boat and they go out in a storm because they go, oh, I've been sailing for 5 years,
Yeah.
the ocean doesn't care.
No, that's right.
And all of the very most incredible mentors I've ever worked with, they said, at every level of riding, you will experience a horse that challenges you in a way that makes you afraid. And if you can't, if you have not met that horse yet, you have not been with horses long enough because there's one right around the corner. And so it's, you learn to go, it's not fear, but you are wise about knowing what you can handle, what you can't handle, how you need to handle it, how, and not to walk away from a dangerous horse, but to approach in a very different way.
Yes. And you never learn more than when you are with a difficult horse. I always say that to people who are, my horse is crazy. Yeah, now you have the opportunity to learn a lot about the horse.
And
And
those
you just.
horses will always take the rider to the next level. If the
Yes.
rider can embrace it, because it's not the easiest process. It does
No.
not, it does not feed your ego. It's
No.
learning time. But
That's right.
if you embrace it and you love the horse, that horse can become your very best teacher you ever had.
That's right.
Well, I'm excited with what you're doing, Anne, and I'm glad you're doing a podcast that is like-minded to horse geeks.
Yes. It's always good to talk about these problems because they are more than you think they are, as you said. There's many people out there who needs the help and needs to twist their thinking about the horses.
No, and it, you can go around the world and find the same 10 problems between a horse and a rider.
That's right.
It's not that
No.
different. So, anything else you want to add to wrap up this podcast today? I really thank you for coming and doing this interview. It's been a pleasure getting to know you better and putting it on a podcast.
I also find it very exciting, and I'm so happy to get the chance to get it out to people because they really need it. And for now, I don't think I have any more. We could discuss this for hours
I know
if you,
horse people
yeah.
can talk all day.
Yes, really.
Yes. Okay, so I will wrap it up. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for this Horse Geeks podcast. Once again, my guest, Anne Axel, I will put her information below, but her website, before we sign off, is anneaxel.com. And that's
That's right.
Anneaxell.com. Okay, and I will put your Facebook and your Happy Horse Hop information down there as well. So thank you so much for joining me, and thanks to everybody listening for joining us for another Horse Geeks podcast, and we look forward to seeing you back here.
Thank you
Bye.
so much. Bye.